Please turn with me to the book of Genesis. I shall be reading chapter 45, verses 1 to 15. Verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry, go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of God.
Allow me to introduce today's guest speaker to all of us. He is someone very familiar. And at the young age of 17, he spoke in front of his brothers about a dream that he had. He told his family that one day they will all bow down to him. That was the day our dear speaker began his training in the subject that we're going to cover today on forgiveness. At a young age of 30 years old, our speaker became the Prime Minister of Egypt, second in command to Pharaoh, which is the King of Egypt. He is married to his lovely wife, Asenath, and has two beautiful children, Manasseh and Ephraim, whose names reflect how God was with him through his ups and downs. Let us welcome Joseph. A very good morning to you from the heavens. Peace be with you. Our Heavenly Father brings good tidings for you here in AMKPC. I was invited by Pastor Wen Song to speak on this very challenging topic of forgiveness. I say it's a difficult topic because many of you are very familiar with the concept, especially if you have been attending church. This common word or idea is often used in Christianity. But for those of you who have attempted to forgive someone, then you will agree with me that not many people truly understand what forgiveness is unless they have to do it themselves. So let me invite you onto a journey of my life and allow me to share with you how you may also forgive and be used by God to invite others into your life. Before I begin, let me pray. Dear Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you that you have first forgiven us. We are reminded, Lord, that you are a God who loves us. And God, we ask that your Holy Spirit be with us as we hear from the life of Joseph and how, God, you can use us to forgive others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who were not here the past 2 weeks, here is a summary of what you might have missed. When I was 17 years old, my father decided to make me this multicolored coat to tell all my 11 brothers that I was his favorite. You would think that being somebody's favorite is something great, right? But boy, did that coat got me into so much trouble. My brothers hated me, and they spoke harshly to me. And I believe it was Pastor Jackson who spoke to you about the perils and dangers of showing favoritism. But it's not entirely my father's fault. There was this once I stood in front of my entire family and told them the two dreams that I had. The first being the sheaves of wheat bowing down to me. And the second dream about the stars, moon and stars that bowed down to me. You see, in the ancient Near East, which is my time, dreams were commonly known as divine communication and prediction. So my family knew very well what the sheaves and the stars represented. It represented them. Fun fact, did you know that throughout my life, the dreams always come in two? The two dreams where I had when I was 17, the two dreams that I had to interpret when I was in prison, and the two dreams that Pharaoh had that I had to interpret. Sharing my dreams with my brothers made them hate me even more. And because of this sibling rivalry, they decided to kill me. By God's intervention, they sold me to a group of merchants, took the precious coat my father gave me, dipped it in goat's blood, and lied to my father, Jacob, about my death. How ironic, isn't it? Just as my father, Jacob, was deceived my grandfather, Isaac, with clothes and goat skin, his own children deceived him with goat's blood and coat. In any case, God was with me during this time in my entire ordeal, especially in my time when I was in the household of Potiphar. I was made the chief steward of his household, and it was in this household I was falsely accused of having sexual relations with his wife. And that, unfortunately, led me to prison. While I was in prison, God was with me too. He granted me favor with the prison guard. And it was in prison, he made me the chief of all the prisoners. And also, it was because I was in prison, I had to interpret two dreams, one of a cupbearer and the other of a baker. Because of my ability to interpret dreams, Pharaoh summoned me to his courts to interpret two of his dreams that troubled him. Eventually, because of the interpretation, Pharaoh promoted me to be his right-hand man and tasked me to oversee the project of storing up grain for the upcoming famine. And that brings us to the passage today. In Genesis chapter 45, when my brothers came to me from the land of Canaan to buy food for their family's survival. Now that I shared with you briefly about my story, let me share with you more about what forgiveness is. Most of us know what forgiveness is all about. But those who actually tried to apply forgiveness will realize that forgiveness is not as easy as it looks. In fact, forgiveness is really, really hard. So why is forgiveness so hard? Forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do, mostly because the hurt that was caused on us was very, very real. The pain and the anguish that destroyed our emotional and psychological state of mind. the aftermath of the incident that caused us to be so guarded and to not trust others easily. Forgiveness is hard because the pain that was inflicted on us was real. And the ones that truly hurt the most are the ones caused by the ones closest to us. People that we might have trusted, people that you never imagined betraying you the way they did. Forgiveness is hard because the pain that was inflicted on us was real. All those years of my slavery and imprisonment could all be traced to that one day that my brothers sold me to the merchants. The physical pain that I sustained from being thrown into the well was nothing in comparison to the emotional pain of being abandoned by those who were supposed to take care of me. The psychological trauma of this near-death experience haunted me day and night as I slept alone in a foreign land. Forgiveness was very hard because the pain that was caused on me was very, very real. Is this the same for you? Were you recently hurt by someone whom you trusted? Did someone else's action disregarded you and caused you to be in a lot of pain? Was there someone who wronged you and perhaps still wronging you, causing a lot of frustration and hurt? Is it someone you were once close to? Or someone you hope to be close to? The second reason that I would like to suggest why forgiveness is so hard is because deep down, we long for a sense of justice. A price that has to be paid for the sins or the wrongs this person has done. Depending on the magnitude of the sin, there is this sense that he or she should be sorry, remorseful, repentant, and if it is possible, he or she has to make up for what he has done wrong. This is the part where it gets very sticky and hard to define. My sorry and your sorry can mean very different things. One man's payment and another man's payment can mean totally nothing to one another. Because when we are wronged, we create this list, this impossible list for this person. And if he fulfills this list, then and only then can we say, yes, I'll forgive you. This sense of justice makes forgiving very hard as well. The third and final reason why forgiveness is difficult is because when the hurt was done unto us, our very natural instinct is to plot our revenge. We may often laugh at children, sometimes when we see them fighting with one another. The one who got hit, within a split second, realized the pain and the intention that was caused on him. You can almost see his thoughts running through his body when he fools himself and pulls himself towards the other person and just hits the other friend. Revenge is quite intertwined with the previous point of having a sense of justice. Just that revenge, you decide to claim that payment on your own instead of allowing the other to make their own amends. So why is forgiveness hard? Because the pain is real, because we long for justice, and for those of you who take justice into our own hands, because we instinctively want revenge, this is why forgiveness is hard. So, why forgive someone? Isn't it easier to take matters into our own hands and inflict that same pain and hurt that was caused on us? Isn't it easier to sweep everything under the carpet and just let the person be? Some people are just like that. Why do we bother wasting our energy and time to make the heart-wrenching choice to forgive him or her? Here's why.
It's already bad enough that we were hurt by someone whom we trusted. The wound that was caused by them cut so deep into our lives. So why do we allow them to continue to hurt us even after so long? Why do we nurse the pain that was done unto us? For me, I decided to entirely let my past be my past when my first child was born to me. This is the reason why I named him Manasseh, which means God has made me forget my hardship and my father's house. I no longer wanted to live under the shadow of my brother's betrayal. I was hurt, yes, but I did not want the hurt to continue anymore. And so I chose to put my past behind me. And having said that, Manasseh was born to me 13 years after that horrific day. God gave me the time to heal and the strength to make the decision to let go of the past. I experienced freedom from the hurt I sustained in the past, and I was able to move on. In fact, I cannot imagine if I had not. Can you imagine how different my story would turn out? Harboring hatred for my brothers, there I will plot my revenge by bringing the entire Egyptian army into the land of Canaan, and now that I'm prime minister, I will wipe out everyone, torture them day by day. But if that's the case, my children's names will be very different, isn't it? I'll probably name them, God gave me the might to strike back, or revenge is sweet when it is delayed. A true test of one's forgiveness lies in his or her ability to abandon any chance of revenge. Which is why we come to today's passage and why I requested Wijim to read this passage for us. Because these 15 verses in the book of Genesis well captures my forgiveness and eventual reconciliation with my brothers. First, I ordered all my men, my servants, to vacate the premise, as I knew I could not keep my identity a secret anymore. I burst in tears when I revealed my true identity to my brothers, who were guilt-stricken for wanting to kill me when they were younger. I could see in their eyes they were afraid of me. There was so much to process. My brothers were probably thinking, my brother is still alive? The dream that he told us so many years ago, it actually came true? Oh no, is he going to torture us and do the same now that he can? To release the tension in the room, I explained to them to not be in distress for what they did and pointed them to God, who actually orchestrated these events so that I can be here to save lives. Not just theirs, the entire Egypt and the nations around it. I told them to bring Father here to Egypt for them to stay here with me, for I will provide for them and their children and their children's children. It was possibly the most beautiful day for me in my entire life. It was a day that was filled with tears and hugging. Revenge was the last thing on my mind. I was more eager to see my family reunited. I was entirely consumed with the idea that my family will be safe. Before I move on to my final point on how you can also apply today's message in your life, I would like to make a distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness is the task of one person, whereas reconciliation is the task that requires two or more parties. Forgiveness, like what Pastor Jordan shared with us just now, is something you have to decide even before reconciliation can take place. We forgive to release the hurt in our past. We let go of our need for payment. And only when these conditions of forgiveness is met, can reconciliation happen. Which brings me to my final point. How is it possible for you today to forgive? In my despair and in my loneliness, in the times where I felt that the situation was unjust and downright unfair, I could see the silver lining. I saw God's hand all the way from the start. I've experienced 17 years of lavish love from my father who loved me. I saw God's hand in my life where he saved my life by sending some merchants to buy me instead of having me killed by my brothers. I saw God's hand lifting me up into success wherever I went, be it Potiphar's house, the prison, and eventually even Pharaoh's court. God is doing something in our lives, even when it hurts, seems unfair and wrong. The question is, are you willing to see it? Take some time to recall in your life and your situation. Throughout the ordeals, can you spot the silver lining? Can you see God's hand in your life? Could you now, on hindsight, see the good that God is doing or has done in your life? Perhaps this difficulty has caused you to be closer with someone else, because Proverbs tells us that brothers are born in adversity, someone sharing with you in your trouble. In your struggle to forgive this person, has God provided someone else to listen, empathize, and understand your situation? More importantly, can you see how this supposedly misfortune has brought you into a more loving and trusting relationship with God? Perhaps it has caused you to pray more, rely on Him more, and in that difficulty, your relationship has grown much deeper than it had before. Eventually, the greatest silver lining was that God used me in my life to preserve the nations being in a famine. God used me to fulfill a promise that He had made to my great-grandfather Abraham, where our family will be a blessing to the nations. If we look past our hurts, we will be able to see the big picture. And if we try to see things from God's point of view, you will see that He works all things out in His good timing and in His good will. For me, it was possible to forgive because God was evidently working in my life and through my life. His grace allowed me to stay free from the poison of revenge and made me into a blessing to the people around me. For you, can you see the bigger picture? Why God allowed some of these hurts to happen to you? Why you had to experience these things? Those difficult times where you struggled to forgive? The silver lining for you is that you too have a Father who lavishes His love on you. Yes, each and every one of you seated right here. God, our Heavenly Father, loves you very much. He promised in the Bible that he will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, he loves you so much that in order to save your life, he didn't just sell you off for 20 silver coins like me. He bought you with the very price of his own precious son, Jesus Christ. For those of you who are not Christian or very new to Christianity, Jesus Christ is the central figure of Christianity, and we believe that he is the Son of God. And the greatest silver lining in the history of the world is that God don't want to see you in your pain and your hurt. He loves you. And that he's doing something much bigger. And what he is doing is inviting you into his life. God forgives you and invites you into a relationship with him. Of all the relationships that you have here on earth, this single and one most important relationship that you have with God is the one that will change all your other relationships that you have with other people, the way you view your relationships with them. God has forgiven you because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And God wants to be reconciled with you today. In order for you to forgive, will you accept God's invitation to be in your life? At this point, I'll invite Pastor Wen Chong back to lead you through a time of reflection and application. On your bulletin, you will see that there are two questions that I'd like us to reflect on. Question number one, is there someone in your life that you need to forgive today? Will you take that step of faith in view of the bigger picture of what God is doing in your life to forgive that person for all the hurt he or she has caused you? And question number two, is there someone that you need to invite into your life? This question is two-pronged. First, it means that you consider reconciliation. Joseph shared with us that forgiveness is a one-person job, whereas reconciliation is between you and another party. Do you today sense that you need to reconcile with that person and invite him or her into your life? It's not easy. It hurts. But don't let the hurt continue hurting you. Invite him or her into your life. But the second way we can view this question is this. The someone here refers to God. Remember earlier on, Joseph shared with us that the greatest silver lining God has done is to give us his son, Jesus Christ, so that we may share in his life. If you are not a Christian, and you are here for the first time perhaps, or new to church and what Christianity is all about, would you like to invite God? Would you like to invite Jesus into your life? Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that today we could hear from the life of Joseph how you were with him all his life. When he thought he was alone in prison, you were there. When he thought he was abandoned and left to die, you saved him out from death. Similarly, God, you are here today with us. And you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, as proof of that love you have for us. Through him, we are forgiven and made right with you. And you invite us into a loving relationship with you. Lord, there are some people here today who have not yet invited you into their lives. and perhaps they are struggling with some past hurts, disappointments, and especially at how their lives turn out to be. God, would you reveal yourself to them? Move them with the great love that caused them and caused their hearts to be open and to have a relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for inviting us into your life. May we do the same to those in our lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.